Nurses and Hypochondriacs, the podcast that brings nurse experts, patients, and hypochondriacs together to discuss hot topics in healthcare. And here is your host, Ercilia Pompilio.
We're back from summer hiatus here on Nurses and Hypochondriacs, and just in time, the CDC has issued a warning. They don't want you to wash your condoms. Like, who the hell is doing that? You know? So I think that's gross, first of all. The fact that they have to tell people not to wash your condoms, people should just know they're single use, or they should put it on the condom. Like, by the way, it's single use. But thank you, the CDC, for doing that. And we're going to go into this episode talking about that. So we're going to be talking a little bit about sex. We're going to be talking about dating. And we're going to be talking about this, ew, don't wash your condom issue and reuse them. It's disgusting. Let me welcome our guest today. I am so excited. I actually have a unicorn coming on the show. And the unicorn is a male straight nurse. That's like hard to find. Haven't had it on the show yet. I think we've done 18 episodes. And I have a male straight nurse. And Ben Morgan, he's our straight nurse. He is an active duty Air Force ICU nurse, CCRN. He's stationed in Alaska. He's been in the Air Force for 17 years, a nurse for 8 years. And he's been on Bumble and Tinder for a few years. So welcome, Ben.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So excited to have you. Awesome. And yeah. I'm sorry, go ahead.
As a unicorn, let me also add, I'm a single straight nurse with a cat.
With a cat. I know. I just met a guy with a cat on Bumble. So that means you're sensitive.
Sure.
Okay. And our other guest today is Amanda Lauren. Amanda is a Jackie of all trades, Marilyn of none, a comedian, writer, and influencer. She co-hosts Things We're Too Lazy to Blog About podcast and writes for Forbes and blogs on itsamandalauren.com. Welcome, Amanda.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for being here in such short notice. I just put this on Facebook yesterday and I got
my... I have no life. It's fine.
I don't have a life either. My life has been podcasting. I've gone to 2 podcasting events this week. One was for NPR and one was for ESPN 30 for 30, which was good. That was the other night at Wanderlust. And it was about Bikram yoga. Ugh. Crazy, crazy. So how are you guys doing tonight? Ben just woke up.
Mm-hmm. Good morning.
It's 5:50 here on a Saturday evening, but in Alaska. So tell us about Alaska before we start, because we were just chatting about Alaska.
It's like another country, but obviously not.
Yeah, Amanda had questions.
Yeah, ask away, Amanda. It's the biggest thing people ask about is the light. Of course, the light thing is weird. Lots of light during the summer and then hardly any during the winter. I'm in Anchorage, which is, you know, way south of Alaska, so I don't get too extreme. And Anchorage is close to sea level, so it doesn't get super cold here. It's way colder in like Chicago and, you know, a lot of the...
Super cold in Chicago. I was there in March.
So, I mean, the cold isn't that big a factor. I think the lowest it got this last winter was right around zero or so. It was... I think it's super bad.
Wow.
No, that's cold. Like, we're in LA, that's cold.
Yeah. People in LA would die. They die if it gets over 100, and they die if it gets under 55.
Oh my God. That's under 55. Like, what are you doing? It's like Mercury must be in retrograde, you know?
Yeah, it is in retrograde.
I know, but when it's under 55, it's Mercury's always in retrograde.
Or above 100, like yeah. It is now. So what's the population in Anchorage? Isn't it like 600,000 or?
I don't know off the top of my head, but it's one of the big cities, definitely in Alaska. It's like a regular big city, only not as, obviously not as big as like LA or something like that, or Phoenix or whatever, but yeah, it's popular. It's got all the typical, you know, restaurants and stuff that you would see in any other city.
Oh.
Cool. Is it expensive to ship things there? I've heard that.
Oh, yeah.
So everything I hear is like more expensive, or is that, no, that's Hawaii or something where everything is more expensive.
I'm sure there too, but yeah, everything's still pretty pricey to send here as well.
Yeah, I think anywhere where it's an island and kind of remote, I don't know. Okay, so let's get into our topic here. So the CDC, I sent you guys, or you guys saw the article, and there was various news outlets that were publishing this. I guess they put out a whole big press thing, and it said the CDC warns people not to wash and reuse condoms as STD cases reach record highs. And this particular one was in the Tribune Media Wire, and it came out yesterday. So it says CDC prevention issued a warning for sexually active individuals. Use one condom for each sex act. And they suggest that they go to the CDC website. And the CDC website will educate you on how to use condoms, dental dams, male, female condoms, and such. And here's another article from CNN. Yes, there are people who wash and reuse condoms, and the CDC wants them to stop, which is weird. Hello. There's some news you can use. If you are having sex with a condom, do not remove it, wash it, hang it up to dry like a little pillowcase, and then reuse it. Condoms are a one-hit wonder, like toilet paper or cupcake wrappers. That's good. I like that writing, you know, because I'm a writer too. I actually really like that headline. It grabbed me. So, yeah, and it says if you think this is obvious, and so the CDC is attributing the rise in STDs all to people washing condoms. What do you guys think about that?
I don't even know how we're talking about this. How stupid are you? Like, I understand, like, we're at the point where we got rid of, now, I don't know what it's like in Alaska, but in Los Angeles, we've gotten rid of, like, plastic grocery bags, and you have to pay 10 cents.
And now straws. Like, Starbucks is saying they're getting rid of straws. I got the straw, though, today.
I know. I feel like that's kind of, they're phasing them out, or they're going to use, like, biodegradable plastic. But I think that, so, I feel like straws are so the least of our problems in this world. And it's also really bad for disabled folks. They're really screwed in this. And, like, everyone should have access to a cup of coffee if they want to pay $7.50 for it. So, but anyway, I don't even know how we're, like, look, reuse your mason jars. Like, I have been known to reuse, like, Thai takeout containers and put them in the bottom rack, you know, and then microwave in them, okay? Like, I do that, and it's okay. But this is, like, let me just say this. If you're reusing your condoms, you shouldn't reproduce.
Well, I think that's the whole purpose of using a condom is to not reproduce. I mean, but the whole purpose of having sex is to reproduce. I mean, it's to procreate.
Yeah. So no, these people should not be procreating at all. Like, they should have an ad. Like, if you've been reusing your condoms, and then, like, we send all those people, like, free birth control shots, or for the men, like, we give them free vasectomies.
Yeah, that's called population control.
Yeah.
And if you read Brave New World, yes.
I guess
that's where we're going with this. Very good, Amanda. Ben, you were saying something?
I pretty much agree. I was agreeing with the whole, that's the purpose of condoms, but I also agree, like, anyone doing this is just... The world is full of a lot of stupid people.
Yes, it is true. I mean, sometimes in clinic, when I hear certain questions, I really question where humanity is going. And I think many times humanity is fucked. You know, when I hear people's questions, like the other day, there was one of the secretaries where I worked, she comes to me and she's like, you're really gonna like this one. And I was like, what is it? And she's like, there's a mom on the phone and she says she's concerned because her kid smells. Now, he was pre-puberty, okay? So he was between the ages of 7 and 10. I won't tell you exactly what it is for HIPAA reasons. And she was saying that the mom was complaining that the kid smelled bad. and there was this odor. And the father suggested that the mother bring the patient in, the kid in, to the clinic so that we can figure out what the odor was. And I think the secretary had said, I just started laughing. I go, did you tell her to go buy some deodorant? I mean, you know, and she goes, I told her, she did tell her that the kid's probably going through puberty and this is normal and you don't have to come in. But I mean, to even ask that question and for the father to be like, hey, my kid, we need to go figure it out. Hello, he's becoming a man. He doesn't smell like lavender and Johnson's and Johnson's baby, whatever anymore. Now he smells like a man.
This is so bad.
Yeah, that's where humanity is going. I tend to agree with you sometimes. Yes. So the agency was tweeting this, okay, on Twitter. And so they released this this Elizabeth Tyrone, an epidemiologist, I have problems with words sometimes, with the CDC division of the STD prevention says simply they won't work as well. Condoms prevent spread of STDs and likely reduce the risk of all STDs, but a condom is only effective when used correctly. She told CNN incorrect use, such as reusing a condom or using more than one at a time, diminishes the protective effect of condoms by leading to condom breakage, slippage, or leakage. If you're one of the few people out there laundering your condoms, please don't. And B, take the World Health Organization's position on condoms and recognize the need for both better education. I can't even read this. I don't know.
What I want to know is, how did they find this out? Like, did they do a study?
And okay, I'll tell you how they're coming to this. I don't know if it has to do with the condoms. I don't know. I think they're just attributing it to the, basically, from my experience, okay, as a pediatric nurse practitioner, I do ask my teenage patients if they are having sex, and majority do not use condoms, okay? Because they feel that they are, you know, inferior to any disease. Like, it's not, or superior, I should say. It's not going to happen to them, you know? And I've had females particularly where I'm talking to them, and it was like, you know, you have to be the one to tell the guy, hey, you need to use a condom, you know, because they'll just trust whatever the male says. And then some of them will have sex, and I tell them, I go, well, we need to do an STD panel. We have to send you to OB now to get a pap smear, yada, yada. I give them the rundown, and they get all freaked out. They're like, well, I'm never going to have sex again. And I was like, that's what you think. Once you break the seal, forget about it. You're, you know, can't go back. You know, you are probably going to have sex. I had one female who thought she was pregnant because she didn't use a condom. And she had just gotten accepted to some major university. She wanted to become an engineer. And she was flipping out. She was like, I'm going to be a scientist. I have to be an engineer. I can't, you know. And so the nurse had gone in there and said, by the way, engineers have sex as well. You know, so it is a lot of misinformation. It's a lot of miseducation. And I think it's empowering whoever, either teenagers, adults, because it happens with adults too, to really use the condoms, to understand that there are STDs out there. And here's one of the stats. So there has been a huge outbreak of STDs in Los Angeles. Okay, here it is. Centers for Health Journalism in LA say there's a rising wave of teen STDs is hitting segregated communities pretty hard, first of all. Okay, so that's that. And I kind of went over that. And I have experienced that, although I haven't really seen very many STDs in my own personal practice. But I'm trying to find the article that I have here about Los Angeles and how the main concern, which I don't have it, I have it here on my laptop. So there's a huge outbreak of STDs going on in Los Angeles, and it keeps rising. And I think we're number one in the country, actually. And they are attributing it to Tinder and Bumble, the apps, you know, all of the dating apps, which keeps increasing. You know, these STDs keep increasing. And it says here, the LA Times published in May 15, 2018, more Californians were diagnosed with chlamydia, gonorrhea, or syphilis in 2017 than ever before, marking the third year in a row that the state's sexually transmitted diseases cases hit a record high, officials said. The trend is mirrored nationwide, where STDs have been rising for 5 years. Experts blame the increases on failing condom use, fewer public health clinics, and people having more sexual partners linked to dating apps. So that's...
I actually don't think it's dating apps at all. I think it's the long lines in every single pharmacy in the city. It's nuts here. You cannot leave a CVS, a Walgreens, or a Rite Aid in under 20 minutes. And that's with just one person in front of you. Just not enough time.
I agree. There's a lot of people in them. But also, for as a dater, like, Ben, you're on the dating apps as well. I am too. And for me personally, if I do get intimate with someone, I ask them to see paperwork. Blink, blink. I do. And I've had this running joke with a friend of mine, when we were in grad school, that we, you know, we really started getting into STDs and stuff as nurse practitioners and learning about them and getting freaked out about them. And, we made a pact that we were going to go ahead and start asking whoever we were dating, like, to show the paperwork. And to my surprise, guys that I've been with have showed me the paperwork. And I even went on a date with this one guy. And I remember his mother was a nurse practitioner and his last girlfriend was a nurse practitioner. And he had posted his STD record on Instagram.
What?
Yeah. He was clear. Yeah, but he's well-trained. He's well-trained. He gets it, you know? And I think that's what people need to do, though. They need to ask for the paperwork and not just trust the person that you're dating that it's okay. I mean, I had gone out with a guy who had a vasectomy. I believe he was about 48 years old. And he was like, you know, and I asked him about his history, and I guess he had just gotten out of a long-term relationship. He's like, it's okay, I have a vasectomy. I go, well, what about STDs? You should have seen the look on his face. He was like flipping out, like having a convulsion. What's an STD? You know, and so I think people, until you get one, you don't know what it's like and stuff. So have you ever had one, Ben?
No.
No, I have not.
Nope.
I've had major fire crotch due to very bad vaginal chlamydia. Not chlamydia. Wrong. I meant a fungal infection. Candida. Sounds the same. Close. But never that. But I have heard of, there was one nurse who told me her story. People tell me their stories all the time. They come up to me. They know I do the podcast. They know I do the storytelling show. So they love to tell me their medical stories. And I had a nurse come up to me, and she had told me her story of when she was on a break with her boyfriend. They were having sex without a condom because they were in this, you know, committed relationship of sorts. And so they were on a break. So she ended up sleeping with someone else, didn't use a condom. That person gave her chlamydia. And the only reason why she found out was because she got together with her ex-boyfriend. They had sex again with no condom, and he ended up having some type of symptoms, went in, got checked, told her, hey, now I have chlamydia. So she went back to the other guy and was like, hey, I, you know, she went to go get checked. She ended up having chlamydia. And so it all ended up being the ex-girlfriend of the guy that this woman slept with. So it was like this ugly triangle. So this is what's happening. You know, people, I guess, are not using condoms and thinking that they're never going to get anything. I mean, gonorrhea is the worst. And HIV is also making a comeback now as well.
I mean, I know two people that have HIV and they have perfectly normal lives. And I believe their partners take PrEP. Well, I think a lot of people take that who are afraid to get it. But like, it really seems more to me, at least from just being on the fringe of this, like just a chronic disease that you have to manage at this point.
Yes, the drugs are really, really good. Go ahead, Ben.
Like HIV isn't really a life sentence anymore. Not that I would want it or whatever, but it's not. You know, way back when I first came out, it was like, you're going to die, right? But nowadays, it's really manageable.
Right. When I first started out in nursing, I was at the tail end of that whole crisis, and I did take care of some people, and it was devastating. I mean, these people were on their deathbed, and they were all saying, you know, one guy, I remember he had slept with 50 women in his whole life, and he was probably late 40s, early 50s, and he was pretty promiscuous within his marriage, and, you know, he literally was at his confessional and said, I wish I'd never done that now, you know, and he acquired this because he didn't use condoms and stuff. So I have another article that was just published July 25th, 2018. And this is in the Foreign Policy online journal, I guess. And it says, welcome to the next deadly AIDS pandemic. So the world experts on HIV and AIDS are gathered this week in Amsterdam for the 22nd International AIDS Conference as a collective anxiousness has set in. The 2016 optimism that fueled a United Nations declaration that the end of AIDS was near has been replaced by a gnawing fear among experts. If properly treated with available drugs, today's 37 million infected people no longer face mortal illness as did their counterparts in the pre-treatment days of the 1980s and 1990s. That much is true. But given the rest of the equation, it's remarkable that the mood in Amsterdam isn't one of panic. Danger surely looms. For years, humanity had the virus on the run, and death tolls plunged to joyously low levels. But the disease is now poised, for the first time in recent memory, to add massively to its global death toll of 35 million since 1981. And I think they're saying that there's a flaw strategy of HIV control, and I'm not going to go into too much of the article. But yeah, so they're saying, and I don't know if they're trying to make everybody panic or make every, because it's interesting that this came out and now the CDC is putting out warnings and the whole, the LA STD crisis is now coming out. So I just find it all interesting that everything's coming out right now. So is it really true? Is it fake news? Or is it just that they're trying to scare people? So who knows?
I think, I mean, as Amanda was asking earlier about where did they find this stuff out? Do we ever get to that? Like how they found out that people were doing
like, were people checking a box? Like, oh, like I always put the condoms in the dishwasher. Who doesn't? Like was there like a survey people took? Like, was it on BuzzFeed? Like a quiz? Like,
I'm not actually, it doesn't really say how they found out. They're just saying that people are doing it. And I think it's because they're just attributing it to the rise of STDs. But really the rise of STDs is because more and more people are having sex without condoms. I don't think that they're washing them. It's disgusting. I mean, after you use one, it just like starts to disintegrate.
I have no idea because usually, and I'm married now, but when I was not married, my partner would throw it out. So I don't know what would happen. It would go in the garbage. I would not look through the garbage. I knew it was there. And then I would throw out the garbage.
Are you sure you knew it was there? I mean, I'll share a story. It may be TMI, but I think people can learn from it. I was dating a physician. This was years ago. This was like probably 14 years ago. When I was in grad school and I was young, I was probably about 31 years old or so. And I hadn't really dated too much. I was married prior and, didn't really understand too much. So, we had sex. He was a physician and I don't know what he did with the condoms. Right. So he had gone away and I felt something in my uterus and my vagina, and I had gone to the bathroom and I felt like bearing down and I pulled out the condom and I was freaking out. I was like, so I called him frantically and he wouldn't answer his phone because he was at like some conference or whatever. And I texted him, I was like, what did you do with the condoms? And he's like, oh, And I go, did you notice that one was missing? And he's like, yes. And I'm like, do you know where I found it? And he's all like, in your vagina? And I'm like, yes. And he's like, oh, don't worry. It should be fine. You know, don't worry about it. It's freaked out. He goes, you know, I'm a doctor. I'll just take care of you. We'll figure it out. And so.
Oh my God.
I mean, I've had that happen, but like, I didn't just leave it there and.
I don't know. He knew. He knew. Like, he didn't say, by the way.
That's so creepy. Like, it's not like when you're walking the dog and you accidentally drop a plastic bag and you're like, ah, fuck it. I've been down twice today. Yeah, I'll just leave it. Someone else. Well,
unless you're dating a narcissist, like I was. So that's just that, you know. So really be careful. That can happen. It's happened to other people that I've known. And it is common, so you just have to watch it and just count the condoms. Like, after, it's like going to start, you know, have you ever done surgery, Ben? Have you ever been in the OR? You got to count, like, all the sponges and stuff, yeah, and the instruments and everything. So you got to just count the condoms.
Make sure you get three out.
Yeah, exactly.
So, washing one and reusing the same.
Oh my God. Yeah. Washing one and reusing them. And like they were saying that you just kind of, you know, put it, but the tweets are really funny that people are leaving. Go ahead. What were you saying?
I wonder if like someone was posting a video on like Snapchat or YouTube, like,
oh God. Yeah.
And maybe that's where it spread. But then I also wonder, like, condoms are not that expensive, right? I mean, I think sometimes you get them for free.
Right. You get them for free. Most clinics, I used to work at a clinic and we used to give them out for free to the kids, although there are like Catholic associations where they do not any birth control of any kind. They do not give out condoms, you know, so CDC should really be looking at that as well. You know, these organizations that will not, you know, are they helping to push forward STDs because they're not promoting safe sex? You know, people are having it, people are going to do it and stuff. I know they say they should abstain, but, you know,
yeah.
What can I say?
I think the bottom line is that these people are just kind of, sorry to say, just people, and they're stupid. And I mean, at least they're trying, I guess, to use a condom, like, giving them some credit. Right?
So what are your experiences on Tinder and Bumble?
I've been on it for quite a while. You know, I had a girlfriend for like a year and a half when I lived in Vegas. Obviously I wasn't on then, but I've been on off and on for the last couple of years since I've been single. Yes, I've had one night stands, but that's not what I'm after. I think a lot of people on there are. I'm at an age, I'm 37 now, I'm at an age where like that's really not, I think there was a time where, yeah, it was just, you know, let's have sex, I don't care about anything else. I would care, but you know, obviously when you're young and all that, feel all that testosterone like guys are, just want to get laid or whatever first. But now I'm at an age where, honestly, as sappy as it sounds, connecting with someone really is way more sexy, way more intimate, and it's way more interesting, you know.
Being, I like that you someone, say that for a man to say that is great. I don't think it's sappy. I think more men need to be saying that. I honestly believe that men don't understand what they want, you know, and having been an avid dater and having been on the apps myself, and I also have a blog called Notoriously Single Girl, and it's all about dating. I really believe, you know, men in general, or there's probably some women that don't know what they want. So they think that, oh yeah, this is trendy now. Let's all just jump into bed and have sex. And they're not thinking about STDs. They're not thinking about their health. They're just doing it because it's trendy, I have a feeling.
No, I think it's more like you hope that this one is the one. Because I felt like I was single for a while, and I've been with my husband for almost 5 years.
That's excellent.
For two. And I think that, like,
did you mean on an app? You didn't mean on an app or anything?
No, we were it's sort of funny. So we were introduced. He was living in New York. I was living in LA. And we were introduced through, he was neighbors with a friend of mine's boyfriend, now husband, and he would come over and hang out, and she's like, oh, this is like a perfect guy for you. So she lied to him and said that I was bicoastal, which I was not. And she kept annoying me. And I'm like, just tell him to add me on Facebook. Like, I was supposed to meet him when I was in New York, because that's where I'm from originally. So, and I was like, it just didn't end up working. I'm like, just tell him to add me. So he IMs me and I'm like, hey, and I'm like, look, I'm in the middle of cleaning out my closet, which I was.
You're always cleaning.
I'm always cleaning or not cleaning. That's the thing. I was cleaning out my closet, and I'm like, look, if you want to talk, this DMing is great, but like, I have stuff to do. This is my number. Figuring he's not going to call me. I sound insane, right? Like, I gave him my numbers, and he wouldn't call me. He did. We talked for 2.5 hours on the phone, and we were talking on the phone and texting and DMing and FaceTiming a lot. And then we met like a month and a half later, and we've been together ever since.
That's amazing. That's awesome.
But you were introduced
by a third party.
Oh, yeah.
Not an app, which is nice. And that third party probably knew a little bit of both of you and were like, well, I think these people would match.
She was right. And it's funny, but like, I remember when I was single, and it was like, I had such bad, before I met him, like, I just had the worst dating life. And I lived with this guy who was like, not yet divorced. His wife knew I was there, and they were separated. So you don't think I would sleep with a married man, because that's not, I never felt that was an appropriate thing for me to do. But I will say this, like, I just had it really bad. Like, I dated the worst people, and I was on a few of the apps, and you kind of just hope that, like, maybe this is the one, maybe this is the one, and then you meet the right one. So I can't blame people. It's also really easy. Like, I mean, it's like, look, everyone has their requirements. How easy is it? You just like flip through, swipe, swipe, swipe.
And it's instant gratification as well.
Well, it's like just that, you know, if you know what your deal breakers are and they don't, you know, and they have your deal breakers, well, then you're not going to be with them and you're not going to waste your time. Although my deal breaker was I wouldn't even date someone who lived, I was in Silver Lake. If someone said they lived in Sherman Oaks, I'm like,
oh yeah, you're like, that's too far.
Yeah. So I dated someone in New York. So that was my deal breaker. And that, so, you know, sometimes deal breakers are meant to be broken.
Exactly. Sometimes they are.
But I wasn't like in a, pardon me, like it wasn't like a rampant fuck fest. Like, I was like dating. I was not having sex with everyone I met on an app.
Yeah.
At all.
I think it's, you know, I went to go see an astrologer a few years ago. I go and get my charts read every about 2 or 3 years. And it's interesting. I like to see how they match up. And so I had seen this one woman, and I had also, she had been my tarot teacher and stuff. And anyway, so she gave me a reading, and I was like, so when am I going to meet the one? Because that's always the question that everybody asks. Mm-hmm. And she's like, oh, not for a while. She goes, I don't think you're even going to meet someone to marry. I don't see it. And I was like, what? I go, I can't be alone forever. And she goes, no, you're going to be going on the sexual revolution. And I was like, what? I go, that's not my personality. I'm very conservative. And at the time, I was very conservative. I go, no, I usually have sex with someone I'm dating. You know, I do the whole, like, you know, give me your information, like, make sure all your STDs are in order, give me your paperwork. I'm that person. I'm the very OCD. I'm the very OCD person. She's like, no, if you don't go on a sexual revolution, it's your life is not going to progress. And I kind of looked at that. And then, you know, it was a point in my time I had lost a lot of weight, and I was feeling really great about myself. Very confident on my new career path that I had chosen and embarked on, which this is a part of it. And I was meeting some very interesting men, and that happened. And I learned a lot about myself and about sexuality. And I used to take, I did take 2 semesters of the psychology of sex when I was an undergrad. So, and then my hairdresser, he was nominated for an Emmy on Masters of Sex. So that I am like the sex expert now because of all that. Now it's a corny joke. Anyway, so that's that. But like, Ben, so what's your history? Did you, you know, and sex is a normal thing. Sex is a normal body function. I mean, it is intended for procreation, first of all. I think that with this whole birth of the apps, I mean, starting with Grindr and with the gay population, which I have a lot of gay friends, so I can attest to this. they were just hooking up, and that's their culture. That's normal for them. And I think it got into the heterosexual world with the apps, and people started to do that as well and think of it as normal as well. So I don't know. What do you think of that, Ben, with your experiences?
I don't know if it really started with Grindr. I mean, we had the, you know, Match.com and all that stuff that were online, you know, websites that you could date with. But I think the apps are just the next evolution of all the, you know, technology. Everything went to apps. So I don't know if it started with that. My experience, I agree with Amanda. It's pretty amazing. I like it a lot because of the deal breaker kind of thing. People always say they wouldn't do the apps dating. I said, I think it's amazing because there are deal breakers that I have, and immediately I can say, well, no, I'm not going to, no matter how good looking they are or whatever, I can say, I can't date someone with 5 kids or something like that.
Oh my God. Yeah. I hear you.
Because I've ran across beautiful women, amazing, and it seemed really cool, but me personally, I can't date someone with a bunch of kids or whatever, you know? That's just an example. So I think it's great for stuff like that. Deal break for me, it's, you know, there's religion, there's the family issue, all those kind of stuff are deal breakers. So I think it's amazing for that. And then physically, of course, is important as well. I don't know, I just think it's easier than like going to a bar, which I think bars are annoying anyway.
Nobody talks to people anymore. I went to 2 events that could have been potentially networking events, and the only people who were talking to each other were people who knew each other. So I see that a lot in Los Angeles. I mean, I love to network. I'm a networking guru. I teach people how to network. But like these 2 events, it was hard. It was hard to really speak to people. People were not open. Their body language was not open. And it felt energetically that they were not open to meeting any new people. So because people are so used to connecting on apps now and connecting through social media, and it is very, very easy, as we 3 didn't know. I mean, we didn't know each other. Before yesterday, we all connected on Facebook, and boom, here we are doing a podcast. I mean, that is an amazing benefit to our whole evolution here with technology and everything like that. But I think there is certainly a downfall, because it's nice to kind of talk to someone and someone sees you. You know, now people are like, why are you talking to me? Don't talk to me. Are you like a, you know, creeper or whatever? So.
Yeah. And and then going back to, you mentioned how some people just want to hook up. I'm a libertarian. I think if people are upfront about that, I think it's okay.
I agree.
Despite the, the negative effects of getting an STD or whatever, if you're not going to use a condom, as long as you're upfront about it, people can be just really shady. And I've definitely ran across people in those dating apps that were just wanting to hook up, and I'm not into that. I'll say I never have. Never been. Does that make sense? At one point, I have been.
Well, because you're like me, your astrologer told you that you needed to go through a sexual revolution in order to evolve as a person.
Of course.
But yeah, as long as you're upfront about it, I think that's totally fine.
My whole thing is, I tell people, make your objectives known. You know, it's like, if that's what you want, that's great. You know, but I think that both parties need to have a choice. Unfortunately, many times women tend to really get connected with their so-called friends with benefits or fuck buddy, whatever you want to call it, because of the hormones, you know, because of the increase in serotonin, because the increase of oxytocin, which is the bonding chemical with that other person. So you could tell someone, like I have this one guy that I was dating, and he made that objective known. And I was like, okay. And then probably within 2 or 3 dates with him, I was just like, I can't do this. You know, it's not my thing. I'm feeling I'm getting connected, and I don't. So I broke it off. But we still were normal friends without any benefits. And we would talk.
No benefit to being friends with that person.
I know. So he ended up telling me this story where he met this woman who was going through a divorce, who had a 2-year-old child. And he became, you know, he was friends with benefits with her, and he had told her the objective. And she was okay with the objective, but then kept telling him, well, I have feelings for you. He kept pursuing her. And I go, well, it's your kind of fault, because you know she's having feelings for you. Now she's turning it psycho, you know, because she would like pop up everywhere at his house. And, you know, she was a hot mess. He told me, he's like, oh my God, I got to tell you about all the crazy women on these apps. And I go, but it's you. You make the objective known. They say, okay. But once you know and see that they're getting attached or they're telling you, you need to shut it down. You need to find someone else, you know, or whatever.
What's wrong with these people? Like, that's just, like, you gotta, yeah, like, you have to make it known. You have to do that.
Yeah.
Sorry, I don't know why someone is
okay. calling me. Someone's calling you.
Sorry, I don't, wait, how do I, oh, they're declined, sorry. It's probably civilians telling me a prescription is ready.
Oh.
Like, I'm sure.
But the tweets are so funny. Like, there's this one guy about this whole CDC. Yes, there are people who wash and reuse condoms, and the CDC wants them to stop. So here, this one guy wrote, the most annoying thing is when you put a pair in the washing machine and all the at the end of the wash, you can only find one. So that was kind of funny. I just bought some new Viagras that you put in your eyes. It makes you look hard. So we need to stop asking people to reuse condoms. Is that what I'm reading? I want a new planet to live on.
I feel the same way.
And I do too. I mean, if they need that many, they're not married. Yeah. let's see. Some other funny ones here. Dude, I'll give you a few bucks. Stop. Reduce, reuse, recontaminate. Maybe it's the people who are, you know, there's those people that are trying to better the planet. Maybe those are the ones who think they can reuse. I don't know. Do they fit better after shrinking in the dryer? Gross. What? Why would anyone do that? No. What kind of freaking freak does that? And then there's like all different kinds of people. Bring them before the court. This cannot be true. Yeah, I don't know. They're not saying where they got this data from.
That's really odd to me. I just feel like, and look, I'm not a conspiracy theorist. Like, I don't think 9/11
CDC is known for that. Yeah.
But that just sounds like data they made up. Like, they were, like, sitting there. Maybe it was, like, a happy hour. And they're like, what could we tweet? Like, everyone's getting STDs. We should just tell people to not reuse condoms.
Right. And they're not making their source known. And then CDC is like that. When the whole flu thing came out on our episode on Flupocalypse that we did, the CDC, you know, had all this stuff about vaccines. And we really looked into the data. And on one of them, on one of the vaccines, it said that they were using mammalian cells, but they weren't saying what kind of mammalian cells those were. Were they from dogs? Were baby foreskin? Yes, that was on our circumcision episode. Or is it, fetuses that have been aborted? I don't know. It's very ambiguous. CDC has been ambiguous. Tell us where this is coming from, because it starts crazy controversies. Maybe they want that so they get more website hits.
I just want to say this. It really makes, as someone who, you know, as someone who actually is really interested in health, and although I don't have children, a lot of friends of mine are starting to have children and talking about things like vaccines and all of that stuff. And it's like, how are we supposed to trust the government that's putting these things out if they're not telling us where this data is from? And it makes you miss, I don't want to be like, you shouldn't trust the government, but like, well, it doesn't, you shouldn't make, they shouldn't make statements and not have data to back it up, frankly.
Exactly. Is it fake news? You know,
I hate it from fake news, but it's true. It's really, it's kind of like when you really, okay, it's funny, but also when you really get into it, if they're not saying where this data is from, that's pretty disturbing. And it doesn't make other warnings they may put out, like Flupocalypse, like any sort of medical data or suggestion they make. Well, I don't want to take it very seriously because they're crying wolf with condom reuse.
The funny thing is, too, that they were saying is be careful where you put the condoms to store them. like many men store them in their wallets, although I haven't seen that in a while because it makes that indentation in their wallets if men carry wallets anymore. You know, so they're saying not to do that because of the heat. I mean, you could tell us that. So you're the guy.
Where do you mean?
Like for storage, like where do you store them? Do you just put them in your pocket, put them in your car?
I think there's a couple in the console in my car, in my truck.
But it's Alaska, though. It's cold there.
Yeah, right?
It's not like L.A. You can't keep them in your car in Los Angeles.
Like, I have this gross packet of Trader Joe's nuts in my, like, glove compartment. I don't even want to know. Like, it's they've probably, like, fermented and become God knows what. But, like, in Alaska, it's just room temperature it's the most it's room temperature.
Yeah, pretty so much. those are pretty.
Honestly, it's gotten like 80 degrees.
Yeah, so I think those are pretty safe.
Yeah.
For the most part.
The tweets thing, I just was watched last night's Colbert, and he brought this up, this whole topic. And just interestingly, I was trying to look for it just now. The CDC, when they tweeted about this, I thought it was funny that they hashtagged sex in the tweets.
Because sex sells.
Right, so like
that's
like hashtag sex. It wasn't like hashtag sex HIV or whatever. Just hashtag sex.
So yeah, because sex is very downloaded. Yeah,
but this is my point though. They're using like a ridiculous hashtag. They're using a hashtag that's like not government appropriate, so to say.
So
they don't show where this data is from. And I have to say, like, this has really been eye-opening because now I'll never believe a word the CDC says.
Yeah, question everything these days. I mean, I think everybody should question everything. It's like people, when they go to their physician or their healthcare practitioner or whatever, they just believe whatever they say. No. I mean, that's why we have so many of these narcissists. Oh, but they were so charming and convincing. I just took their word for it. You know, where is your brain? Do the research, you know, it's so easy nowadays.
Or really random, maybe, but also, wait, I have a weird question. Don't you see if you have friends like on Facebook in common with you? Because, like, I know, like, Hinge, it's based on people you have friends in common with, right?
I think so. Yeah, I don't use Hinge. I think it's only in select cities.
Oh, do you mean like Tinder and Bumble?
Yeah, like other than Tinder, even Tinder, I think it says if you have mutual. I can't. I was on.
Oh, yeah. Tinder, so Tinder used to do that more. I don't see them doing that anymore as much. You know, which friends you have in common. They were doing that, but I'm not noticing that anymore. I think they've taken that out because I would up until 2016, I remember that was happening because I was in Italy. And I was on my Tinder I did not date anybody there, but I was seeing who was there. And a lot of them knew my cousins. And I would tell them, hey, do you know this person? It says that you guys are friends on Facebook. And they'd be like, no, I don't know that person. So I don't know how, okay. Yeah, I don't think that is on the site anymore.
I mean, just because like I mean, like, even when, like I said, like, he Facebook messaged me, but I didn't technically meet him on Facebook. We had other, like, a few random mutual friends, like someone who I had previously dated, he went to high school with, and they were friends on Facebook. So,
yeah.
To find out.
It's interesting.
What kind of, you know, if they're a truthful person or if they're not. I mean, but I guess like if you have, look,
but you don't really, you don't really know these days. I mean, their friend could be like, yeah, they're totally cool. And they don't know that person that well. And you could find out that they're a total sociopath. And
true.
It was like, I never saw that. You know, that's a side I never saw of that person. So it's just hard to tell. You just have to kind of feel it out. I think the best rule of thumb when dating is to not just jump. I mean, it's up to you. Like I said, if the objective's there, if you feel good with that, I no longer do this just because it's just not my thing anymore. I'm looking for a more impactful relationship. I'm looking for more of a partner. Just feel it out. You know, a friend of mine, we were talking, he was a male, and we were saying it should be like a 3-date rule, you know, or more to see if you really have in common. You think you're going to go forward with this person and then make that commitment. But it's all subjective. It's everybody's thing, you know, and everybody has their own rules. Ben, do you have something to add?
Yeah, there are no like definite rules. I mean, I've definitely been on first dates where I'm like, yeah, there's no way in hell I ever want to see this person again.
Exactly.
And then others where I so wanted to see this person again, but they're not into me for whatever reason. It's just, I think as long as you don't jump in anything too quickly, which is hard to say to people that are young in their teens and 20s who they're more at risk for the for this kind of, you know, the STD and stuff because they jump to sex so fast. The advice, I mean, all you can do is give advice, whether they listen or not. I know when I was in my 20s, it's hard for me to listen to advice. Once you get the hormones and get horny or whatever, and you want to just jump in. So it's hard to really influence them that much, but just, I don't know. You just got to keep preaching, I guess. Well, there's no definite answer, I guess.
I have a question for you, Ben. Another one. So when you've, you know, had the intimate connection with someone and you ended up sleeping with them, did you ask them if they had any STDs? Did you do like a, you're a nurse, you could do an exam. I mean, you know what to look for.
Physical exam. Let me get down there and take a look first.
I do.
Oh my God.
I do. Like I said, my friend in grad school and I, we said a thing. We were going to write a book. I mean, we sat there and we're like, you know, we really need to teach people how to do an exam down there and how to know what's normal, what's not normal, something smelling weird, you know.
Someone smells weird, like you shouldn't sleep with that, like down
exactly,
there.
Exactly. But people do all the time. I hear it all the time. Like, oh, it smelled weird, but I still went there. And then they ended up with something. Or they're like, it was dry and flaky. And I asked the guy, this doesn't feel right. And then that person ended up getting herpes. That's one of our episodes, Herpes a Love Story, where someone, mm-hmm. she was young, she was in her early 20s, and she knew something was wrong. She asked the guy, and the guy was like, oh, nothing's wrong. It's normal. You know, that's not normal. She ended up getting herpes, and boom, there you go. So
it wasn't AIDS.
I've never given an exam or anything. Yeah, that's stuff. I think what you're saying is that's ideal, but you know, that kind of takes away from the sexiness of the situation. But you're not wrong.
Hey, baby, let me inspect your genitals.
Give us some love. People actually like it. They're like, oh, I'm getting examined.
Do you keep like a glove in your purse, like a latex examination glove?
I don't know. Never. But, you know, I got the idea. I do have this idea. I'm not going to go into detail of what I'm going to put into this kit, but I was having wine one night and in Palm Springs, and Palm Springs is a great group of people. There's a lot of these older people, and they're so much fun because they will tell you about their, you know, having sex in the 60s. And there's a supermarket there. It's called Jensen's, and they had wine night. And they have wine night on Wednesday night. So I go and there's an eclectic group of older people. And there was this woman there and she lived in France for a long time in the 60s. And she's like, we had sex all the time in the 60s. You people here don't know what sex is. And she was just going on and on. And she said that they had a special bag. And it was, I think it was called the Declare bag, or I don't know exactly. She gave it a French name, but she said it was a bag and you had an extra pair of underwear. You had like something to freshen up with and stuff like that, but you had sex responsibly. So it was very, very interesting. She said there was a lot of sex going on.
I mean, you don't tell me that you've never thought, like, gone on a date, thought you might sleep with a guy and brought like some stuff for the next day.
I have, yeah, I have. And sometimes an extra pair of underwear or something like that. I've even, you know, I've had stuff at my house, like extra toothbrushes. And one time I gave a toothbrush to someone. I was like, here's a toothbrush. And he was flipping out. He's like, what does that mean? What does that mean? He thought we were getting married because I gave him a toothbrush. I was like, it's just a toothbrush.
We're like, I got a 400 pack at Costco.
Exactly. 99 cents jar. You know, and that happened to me when I was at someone's house and he's like, here's a toothbrush. And I was like, oh, what is that? You know, it's like, it's coming back.
That's not a commitment. That's giving someone that costs more than a breath mint. I mean, like, that's just
that's
so
it. It's just like being at a hotel and you're like, oh, you know, toiletries. Nice.
Also nothing at all like being at a hotel.
What? So I asking two girls, what would be a very, if you were to leave something at a guy's house, what would you leave that would be like a big sign or a big warning for a guy?
I've left earrings that are super cheap, and I've had guys call me back and go, you left your earring here. And I go, you could throw it away. You know? And I go, I don't want it. They're like, but you need it. But I have to come bring it to you. And I'm like, no, you don't. But they are insisting. So sometimes I'll be like, fine, bring me the ear. And they're like, and they won't give me, they're like, oh, and the earring, like at the end of the date or whatever. And I'm just like, yeah, like you really came here for that. Mm-hmm. Have you left anything? I did leave a very expensive bracelet that I had bought from Italy with this one person, and I was freaking out because he never called me. I kept calling him saying I need that bracelet back.
Oh,
and he wouldn't, like, he wasn't answering his calls, and he worked for the FBI. And so I was just like, you need to. And so finally he did it. I go, come on, I just want the bracelet back. I don't want to see you. You know, he did give it. I went back to the home. I go, I'm just gonna come pick it up. it's always just a cheap earring though.
That's so funny. I went to New York to go meet my husband, the guy who became my husband, because as I said, we're talking and we had, you know, mutual friends, and I was sort of like, I don't know, I had a feeling. And also, like, if it turned out it was really bad, like, I just go stay with my family and see my friends. Like, it wasn't like a big deal. But, you know, he asked me, because we've been talking on the phone for a while, and he asked me, you know, like, our fifth date was with my parents.
Oh, my gosh, that's awesome. But that's,
my parents are very old school.
Yeah, that's old school, which I like. I like that, you know, because, you know, you're like, you kind of get a feeling when you're with someone that, hey, this is probably the one, and you feel content and stuff. It's not like you're like, maybe it is, or maybe you just
I don't know. I kept joking around even before we met, like in person. I'm like, this will be the guy that I marry because he's very inconveniently located. There were just all sorts of, I'm like, of course he would be from New York, just like with the way I am. Like, I won't date anyone that lives in another neighborhood. Just, it was really funny. But I left a ton of stuff at his house because I was going to New York and I was in LA. So I had all this wintery stuff. And I'm like, can I just leave, like, my winteries? I mean, I took, like, back my coat, but I left a bunch of sweaters there, and I had, like, my own little spot in the closet. Yeah, it has played. It wasn't even, and then I came back, like, I think 4 weeks later, 5 weeks later. We never spent more than 6 weeks apart when we were dating long distance, and we were long distance, like, from February, I guess, when we met in person to December, so 1 year to the day that we had that Facebook conversation, we got engaged.
That's awesome. At least there are happy endings. You know, my astrologer told me it's going to happen for me in February. That's it. The new astrologer that I just consulted last week.
I have someone really good, by the way, if you don't like what that one says. Michelle Prentice is amazing. And I write
first. I thought you had a guy for me.
You know what? None of my guy friends are single. Like, none of my husband's friends
are good friends. They're good guys. They're probably good guys. Yeah. And so they, you know, they usually, you know, good guys, they understand the value of being in relationship and stuff. So
yeah.
I mean, in a good relationship that, you know, you guys are helping each other out, not like making each other miserable. So anyway, Ben, anything you want to add? We'll be starting to wrap this up.
Oh, no, I guess not. Like I said before, if we're going to give any advice, I guess don't wash your condoms, but at least they're trying. I wonder if it actually does, did they go into the article at all about whether, you know, once they're washed and reused, if they're still effective at all?
I don't think they're effective to decrease the rate of STD or of HIV particular or STDs, because there's non-oxynol 9 in a lot of the condom, majority of the condoms, you know, which will kill any HIV in the sperm. I mean, don't quote me on this. It's like, I don't exactly know how it works, but I would assume that once you wash it, that it all comes out and then the latex gets much thinner, or whichever kind of condom you're using, the non-latex ones and stuff. So I guess it's like, you know,
who
well,
you
I'm not, gonna
not a good barrier. What were you saying, Ben?
I'm not going to experiment and you know, watch.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I always think I'm a researcher, but that's one that I would let go and not want to find out what the results were for that one. Anyway, final words for you, Amanda.
Don't reduce, reuse, or recycle condoms.
I think we're all three on top of that. Don't reuse or wash your condoms. Just throw them away after use. You could get them for free at any non-Catholic hospital or non-Catholic clinic.
Or steal them from CVS. Like,
steal them. No, you can't steal them. They're locked up.
What? Yes. Are condoms really locked?
Yes, they are. They are locked up. I remember.
Really?
Yes, I was dating someone who was who lived in DC, and he came out to see me, and he needed, you know, we were done with the condoms, so we had to go to CVS and buy them. And they were locked up, and he was very embarrassed to go ask the guy to unlock them. I was like, just go ask him, and I made like a big scene. As I always do. I was like, watch.
I do wonder, when I was young, it was embarrassing to go buy condoms.
Now it's more embarrassing.
What did you say, Amanda?
Now it's even more embarrassing because you have to ask someone, like, it's like the razors, like, with like 12 like locks and, you know, a thing you have to pull up and...
I don't know why it's embarrassing. I mean, you should be almost be proud of it more than anything, but...
I had to buy tampons today. I just, you know, I was just like, whatever. I'm just going to buy them.
I don't like buying tampons.
I saw tampons at the dollar store, like the ones that I use, which are expensive. And I bought like 5 boxes, and I was on my break from work, and I went and I told my LVN that I work with. I was like, oh my God, look, I found this deal. Look, I bought like 5 boxes for $5. This would have cost me $50. And he's like, TMI. And I go, I just got to tell you about my deal.
It's so fun. Wait, was this recently?
This was like probably 2-3 months ago. Yeah.
Oh. That's so.
They're $10. I bought them today, $10. I was like, dude, I bought this for $1, 1 box. So good. So anyway, but yeah, you know, don't reuse. Get the condoms. You can get them for free. You know, they don't cost very much. I think the average is about 50 cents. I was seeing. If you go to West Hollywood, they give it out for free all the time. One time use, throw them away, and really start asking people what their STD history is. I think people should be empowered to do that, especially if you're young, especially if you are female. And if you are male too, you know, you want to know yourself. And people are afraid to go find out what their history is and get tested, but you can get tested at a variety clinics, free clinics, Planned Parenthood. Planned Parenthood also tests males as well. So yeah, well, thank you very much. Anything you guys would like to promote?
Listen to my podcast, Things We're Too Lazy to Blog About. It's on iTunes, it's on Spotify, it's on Google Play, it's on Stitcher. You can follow me on Twitter at Amanda Lauren. My website is It's Amanda Lauren. The It's is in the URL, and my Instagram is also It's Amanda Lauren. But you could just go to itsamandalauren.com and all of this is linked.
Awesome. Ben?
I don't have a blog or podcast or anything like that, but if you want to keep in touch.
But you have a microphone.
I do. Well, I do a lot of music too.
Oh, okay. Record stuff.
You can follow me on Instagram. I'm at BenJam2112. And I'm on Twitter. Sometimes on Twitter, I'll post nursing related stuff. On Twitter, I'm at GrittyBen with 2 T's.
Okay. I got to follow you there. Okay. And thank you so much for listening again. You can follow Nurses and Hypochondriacs on Facebook under Nurses and Hypochondriacs, on Instagram, Rogue Nurse Media, and on Twitter, Nurses and Hypochondriacs at Nurses and Hypochond. And yeah, that's it. Thanks for listening. And I just wanted to mention, we just got a grant from the Puffin Foundation for $1,500. Thank you for this podcast, which is awesome. And thank you for everybody who's listening. Please continue to listen. If you'd like a continuing education unit going towards your RN license, only in California right now, unfortunately, I'll use my grant towards getting a national certificate for CEs. But you can click on the link and it'll go to a survey, fill out the survey, and you get 1 continuing education unit going towards your nursing license. Thank you so much for listening, Nurses and Hypochondriacs. Till next time, don't wash and reuse those condoms.